Hour number two of the Blitz starting right now. Live here on Fan Run Radio, 1340 AM, 105.7 FM. We're streaming live in your Fan Run Radio app, and we're also live on the Fan Run Radio web browser. Logan Quinton in the house for start of hour two here. It's been a while since we've gotten it, but it's a much needed. It's a crumble cookie Friday. I'll tell you what. Logan's going to tell you about these cookies, but there's one of them that I just took two big bites of, in between the hours. I have life again. That has given me life. It has given me hope. It has given me spirit. The day has been revived. So, Logan, what kind of cookies we got this week? This is your crumble lineup?
Yes, sir, and perfect day for a pick-me-up, right? And
yeah.
We've got a wonderful rotation this week. The one you're talking about.
Logan, is your mic on?
You're good.
Good?
Yep.
Okay.
Sorry.
The monster cookie. Peanut butter, chocolate candies, semi-sweet chocolate chunks, brown sugar, and oatmeal. I mean, my goodness. And then we've got sea salt toffee, ooh, lemon poppy seed, Texas sheet cake, raspberry cheesecake, and classic pink sugar.
I'm going to eat these cookies. I mean, these cookies are, yeah, these are some good cookies.
We talked about it on the pod, and I went raspberry cheesecake, but I'm coming around on the monster, man. This is I need a bite of the monster on this Friday.
Logan, disappointing night last night. Where do you stand on Rick Barnes and all of the Rick Barnes conversation that I think goes around?
I think you're pretty much right on the nose. I mean, I agree with what a lot of you all have said this morning. Flawed coach, but a really good coach and runs a good program. But last night, man, it's that second half offensive game plan. I mean, they look like they haven't been on the court together, and it's very worrisome. I mean, it's one thing to lose in the Sweet 16, but to have a performance like that, that's what is so sour about it. And, we can get over it and everything, but not calling for Rick Barnes' head or anything, but, man, just such a sour way to end the Sweet 16.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I think everyone today turns their head towards baseball.
Yeah, baseball, you are up.
Yeah, baseball.
You're not on deck. You're up
to
bat.
You're right. Yeah. You got to step up right now.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's very on edge, and you guys just got swept by Missouri. So
you actually just got thrown in with
pressure,
the
but, yeah. Yeah, you just got thrown.
You got thrown into pinch hit with the bases loaded in a 3-2 count, I think.
Yeah,
you got to deliver here. You got to deliver. Yeah.
Oh man, they just got put in a tough predicament. They weren't in a tough enough spot already, coming off of a sweep, but also looking ahead next weekend. You go to Baton Rouge. How important is this series?
Oh, it's extremely important. The Aggies come to town, and it's a good team. It's a scrappy team. They were able to avoid being swept down in Baton Rouge last week. They picked up that Sunday win. So it's just, for me, you got to protect home. They don't necessarily have to sweep this series, but win the series. Get some momentum going into Baton Rouge. Texas A&M, man, they're an Omaha team from last year. They return Nathan Detmer, their Friday guy. He'll be going against Chase Dolander tonight. I'm real interested to see how Dolander responds. You know, we've got great weather today, all except for the wind. That wind is just whipping. But
is it blowing in or out?
Man, it's gusting right now, just whipping around. That could change by game time. So that's something to monitor. But, Dolander, has that start under his belt in SEC play, was not his best. We talked about it on the pod and what it's going to take for Chase to, get his grip back literally and figuratively. The one good thing I'll say is he's not lost velo. You know, he's still throwing with that velo. It would be different if the velo was a couple of notches down, a tick or two, but for him it's all about locating and executing.
Is that what you would attribute his struggles to, is location?
Yeah. Yeah, and Tony mentioned it yesterday in the media availability that during the game last week, Tony felt like, well, he's throwing well. You know, they're just touching him up. But he said on second thought, going back and reviewing, Tony said it was pretty much all about location. And so it'll be interesting to see the game plan Frank Anderson has going up against this Texas A&M team. They're led by Jack Moss. We talked about him on the pod. You can't mention the Aggies without mentioning Jack Moss. They've got a couple of other guys in the lineup that kind of is their core, a freshman and Jace Lavalette, if I'm saying that right, leads the team in homers with four. They're not hitting a ton of homers, but they're also not giving up a ton. So, you know, I'm wondering if this offense, this Tennessee offense, we talked about, you know, last night's basketball performance and the offense there, and then last week in Columbia, the lineup for the baseballs not coming through. Can they bounce back? And I think they can. Nathan Detmer, when he's got his slider going, he's really tough to handle. But outside of him, there's a lot that Tennessee can do, I think, against the Aggies. Because, you know, like we've mentioned and talked about, they're not very deep in the pen. They've got a couple of really nice lefties in the pen. But if you get deep into their pen, that's where really the separation can occur.
Logan, Tennessee, I think, you know, Tennessee's pitching staff, Dolander and Burns specifically, they really like to be aggressive early in the count. You know, I think they really like to try to jump on guys. And I think, you know, part of that, correct me if I'm wrong, is it's kind of been a staple of Frank Anderson throughout his career, is his pitchers, you know, are usually pretty aggressive, and he doesn't like to throw a lot of balls. You know, he wants to get up on guys early. With that being the case, you know, it seems like this year, more so than any other year I've seen under Frank Anderson, you know, teams are more prepared to try to jump on these guys early in at-bats. Do you think that there's any kind of, you know, shift in approach moving forward, even, you know, just minor ones?
You know, maybe with Dolander tonight, and that's kind of what I'm looking for, but with Chase Burns, he's been the most impressive to me in terms of the weekend rotation. Again, like, he threw really well last weekend. He just got beat a couple of times. You know, I think with Beam and Burns, you're probably going to see a similar approach. But perhaps with Dolander, I'm thinking maybe a different approach tonight.
Sam, how you doing back there?
I'm doing all right.
How are you feeling about this baseball team so far? You been paying much attention, or did I just put you on the spot?
No, I've been paying a little bit of attention. I think we're, like, you know, I just think it's too early in the season to really hit the panic button on anything so far. I do agree with what Logan's saying about Dolander's command there a little bit. It hasn't been as sharp as what you've seen, but you don't have to, you know, it's not going to be, we're still not into the heart of SEC play. I think this weekend is a huge get-right series before you go on the road to LSU to have a huge series, you know, toe-to-toe with the number one team in the country. I just think this is a big get-right weekend for the Vols. I think this is one that, you know, you put last weekend behind, it was ugly, you kind of watch the tape and you shut it off, and this year, this weekend, you kind of reset and you know, you get some positives going, hopefully, and you're in a good mindset going into LSU.
Logan, I think this is going to be a topic of conversation next week, you know, at least around some college baseball circles. I know Tennessee has the better whip. They have the better K-9, K-to-walk ratios, but LSU's maybe been the more has been the more explosive pitching staff. Would you still say that Tennessee has the best pitching staff in the country?
Yes. Yeah, I would. But when you talk about LSU, you know, what Paul Skeens has done this year, you know, when he made the move to transfer to LSU, you know, back in the fall, you're thinking, oh, this is such an interesting player for them because he's a two-way guy. you know, there's some potential on the mound to really do some things and perhaps be a Friday night guy. And then all of a sudden, come January, he's sniffing triple digits and throwing a slider, a wipeout slider at 97, which, you know, don't know what he did in the offseason, but the man turned into a cyborg. And he's been phenomenal. You look at the metrics, and he's right there at the top. But after that, there's a gap, you know, between he and the Saturday and Sunday guys and, you know, some of the guys in the pen. With Tennessee, man, it's just they got so much depth, you know, outside of the weekend rotation. Guys like Andrew Lindsey, Seth Halverson, a freshman A.J. Russell has been phenomenal. They can do so many things and offer so many different weapons when they turn the bullpen door. For me, it comes down to this lineup waking up and backing and supporting that pitching staff that they have, and they're going to get beat. And we talked about it on the pod that as phenomenal as they are, talking about Dolander, Burns, and Beam, a lot of these SEC opponents are seeing them for the second, third time this year. So, and it's the SEC, the best league in the country. So you're going to get beat. You mentioned it. Frank Anderson, he's going to challenge you in the zone. And sometimes you're just going to get beat. But this weekend rotation, they're going to beat you more times than not. And it's still the best in the country.
Is that what separates you? You think it's the still just the top end like talent throughout the rotation that separates Tennessee? Or is it like the depth in the bullpen? Or both?
The depth. I would say the depth and the staff.
The depth and the staff. All right, we're going to throw it back here. Throw it back to Logue Stradamus. How do you predict this series going? Give me game by game.
Yeah. Wow. I expect Dolander to bounce back tonight. I really do. It's going to be vital for him first time through the order to, you know, pretty much not give up anything, and I think he can do it. I think the Vols bounce back tonight. You know, in totality, I think they win the series. I'm not calling for a sweep, but man, I'm going to say 2-1 Vols for the weekend. I don't know how.
Which two?
Man, this one's tough. I'm going to say Friday, Saturday. A&M is doing something different with their Sunday start. Chris Cortez has been terrible, quite frankly, on Sundays this year, and they're making a switch, and they're going a different route with Lampkin, who has been out of the pen. Maybe that gives the Aggies an edge. Not that they have an edge on Saturday, but maybe that gives them a boost, change of pace, something different, and maybe they can pull one out on Sunday.
All right, let me think. Any other baseball things we need to ask our baseball guy, Logan Quinton, while we got him?
LSU-Arkansas at 1 p.m. today, so if you guys are looking for a fix, it's the early one on the slate.
All right. What'd you make of the lineup this week? Quick thoughts here.
I think it was the right move. Hopefully it pushed the right buttons.
Yeah, I mean, everyone but Blake Burke essentially getting swapped out.
Yeah, and think about it. You know, Tony mentioned yesterday that Blake Burke was sick all week last week. And he said he looked like a guy that had been sick last weekend. So I think he bounces back. And then in terms of the rest of the lineup, that's what I'm looking forward to also, is to see who grabs some spots in the outfield and at the DH. Did anybody, you know, impress enough in that midweek game against Western Carolina to be a change that we haven't seen yet in the lineup? I think that's another thing to look forward to.
If there is a change, what do you think it might be?
Ooh, man. We saw Tears in right field last week, so that wouldn't be a drastic change. Maybe they go ahead and start Christian Scott tonight. Put him in center. He's by far and away your best outfielder, your best glove, your best center fielder. He looked real comfortable in that midweek Granted, it was Western Carolina, but he looked real comfortable. If he can settle down and relax a little bit in the box, maybe we see the numbers start to go up for him.
All right, Logan. Well, I won't keep you here any longer. I know you got places to be. But I appreciate you coming in.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you Absolutely. Bringing these crumble cookies.
Yes, sir.
Two locations now, one in Turkey Creek and one up
Clinton Highway. On
Clinton Highway. Third one coming to Maryville, right?
Yes, and many more to come.
Many
Crumble
more.
Crumble is taking over East Tennessee.
Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. All right, again, appreciate you, Logan. Sam, you can send us over to break. Man, those cookies were good.
Can't beat Crumble.
I mean, those were that was so good. Oh, man. What do you say? It's not an opening drive, but like, what about like a second quarter drive?
Okay.
Yeah.
2 minute drill, maybe.
2 minute drill,
but not a 2 minute drill. But like, we just got
nobody
score.
On the phones, right? Big ones really. They are open. If anyone wants to call in, 865-546.
Nobody on the phone line.
8200. But all right. Well, we'll get into an opening drive in the second quarter. Opening the second half. I don't know. It's first down.
Yeah, second half. We just received kickoff at halftime.
Yeah. We'll go with that. First down. The NFL yesterday had to send out a memo as the Lamar Jackson saga gets even more interesting. Had to send out a memo that the involvement of a business partner and so Ken Francis, right? NFL sent out a memo that Ken Francis was not personnel certified by the NFLPA and that he might be attempting to persuade teams personnel to enter into contract negotiations with Lamar Jackson. So that was the original memo. Like that was how the story started. And everyone was like, who is this guy? Who is Ken Francis? Where did he come from? Does Lamar know that he's trying to negotiate on his behalf? Is this like a crazy person? And I think people were quickly like, oh, okay, hold up. Ken Francis is a guy that was last seen trying to sell. He's a Florida man that was like trying to sell his travel exercise equipment invention. And then 3 hours later, 2 hours later, Lamar Jackson quote tweets the video, or I mean quote tweets a tweet about the memo being sent out about Ken Francis. And turns out him and Lamar are business partners. And Lamar is also in on his traveling home gym device. And he tweeted out a video advertising for it, trying to sell it. What a weird turn that was. But I guess Lamar's business partner was also trying to negotiate with teams on his behalf. That's just not exactly what I was expecting yesterday.
Not at all. Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. Not at all. He had some fun with it on Twitter, Lamar.
Yeah.
That was so weird, though.
You think he knew, or you think like his business partner was like, I'm so tired of these teams. They don't want him. Screw this. I'm calling him. Hey, you. Sign Lamar.
I don't know, man.
I don't. Is this Lamar thing ever going to come to an end?
I don't know. I kind of hope it drags out for a while. I think it'd be pretty funny.
It is pretty funny. I mean, but it's like, I don't know. The ball is like pretty. I mean, the Ravens, I think, just kind of have all the leverage. No one's signing him. No one's talking to him.
Right.
No,
like the
no
Ravens can just tag him, and then he's going to be really not happy if he has to go back to Baltimore, but. He doesn't really have a choice.
Yeah, I mean, there's right now it doesn't seem like there's any other option for Lamar Jackson but play for the Ravens or don't play football.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like that's what it's come to.
I don't know. I mean, I could see him holding out.
Yeah, he might. He might.
Second down.
Second down. Marquise Noel sets a NCAA tournament record last night. 19 assists in a game. What a performance by Mr. New York. As if you didn't already think he was going to have a good game after the Kentucky game. follows up that incredible performance, knocking off the Wildcats. Drops 20 points, 19 assists, 5 steals, 3 rebounds. The kid does it all. 5'8", 160 pounds. Now that Tennessee's lost, you know, I'll 100% be rooting for this Kansas State team. They got a great storyline. They've just got a great storyline.
I'm rooting for UConn.
Yeah, I know you are, because you like to be different.
No,
I know you. I know.
If UConn, if Houston gets to the Final Four,
I win the bracket if Texas wins. So I want UConn to lose in the next round.
If Houston gets to the Final Four over Texas, and Alabama gets to the national championship, or I don't even think I need that. I think it's just if Houston gets to the Final Four and UConn wins a national championship, I win that bracket for.
Yeah, I need Texas to win and I'll win.
I guess that's all I really care about now.
It's also a rigged bracket pool if you win it, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I'll 100% question sending my $20 into you if you somehow win that one.
I'm just a cheater.
Yeah.
You know me.
A cheater through
and
through.
The bracket that we filled out on air is the one that I
cheater through and through.
You know what the thing is, too? I scratched out 3 picks from the day that we filled out the bracket on air, and all 3 of those picks that I scratched out and ended up picking the wrong team. And
yeah, I scratched out a lot of correct picks.
If I would have just kept those 3 that I picked on air, then I would be in first place right now.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It is tough.
Real tough. Third down. Bad news for the NL East teams continue. Well, not us. We're doing all right for now. Knock on wood.
I'm fine.
For now. We'll see. But it's come for the Phillies now. Unfortunate news. Yesterday, Phillies first baseman Rhys Hoskins, he was carted off the field after suffering a left knee injury. He just went to plant and it kind of buckled inward. Went down, looked like he was in a lot of pain. He was kind of like half backpedaling to get to like a shallow fly ball and right. Not a chopper. It took a little weird hop on him too. MRIs have come back, and it is indeed a torn ACL for Rhys Hoskins. He will undergo surgery, and that will end his season. And, you know, it comes after a time last year where, for a World Series contending team, he kind of had a breakout season. He was playing really some of his best baseball, and I think people were really excited to see, you know, what he was going to turn into. And now the Phillies, who were just in a World Series, or, you know, just shy of winning a World Series last year without two of they're pretty big contributors from that team. You know, no more Rhys Hoskins and Bryce Harper's out till at least the All-Star break.
Yeah. The NL East seems cursed. We've got, you know, Mets and the Phillies are down. I'm a little scared about what's to come.
You scared of the Nationals?
Yeah.
Have you seen how good we've looked in spring training?
Yeah.
Dom Smith hit a home run yesterday. Victor Robles is hitting like 360. Maybe he'll finally have his breakout year we've been waiting for 5 years. Corbin outdueled Justin Verlander the other day. He's back. We're back.
Spring training champs, baby.
CJ Abrams like stole a base, dude. We're so good.
Spring training champs.
We signed the Kiber Ruiz for 8 years.
Fourth down here. The Philadelphia Eagles have given Lane Johnson a 1-year extension for $33.4 million. Pretty much fully guaranteed, $30 million guaranteed. Johnson's going to be under contract now until 2026. I don't know if he'll be playing until then. That'll be interesting. Obviously, you know, coming off of that torn groin, played through that for most of the playoffs. And that's a tough one, but obviously he's going to come back from it. He's 32 years old. A little interesting that, you know, obviously you want to pay your tackles top dollar. It's a premium position in the NFL, but for a 32-year-old that you seem to know who is who's leaving your team pretty soon. You know, he's hanging him up in the next year or so. A little interesting they're giving him $30 million, but I guess it's warranted. He's a great right tackle, one of the best in the league. Just a little A little interesting, this Eagles team shelling out that money. Do they have a replacement at right tackle for him?
No. I mean, Dillard was maybe going to be that, but he's not on the team anymore, obviously.
Right. Shout out to Titans.
Shout out to Titans. We'll get a break. We'll talk about the rest of the Sweet 16 on the other side. Doesn't really feel like it, but you know, the rest of the college basketball world moves on, even though our season doesn't.
That is correct.
It's tough because it is just still so fun. Like, it's March Madness, and I love it so much. But, like, at least for tonight and maybe, like, tomorrow, too, just feels a little bit different. I don't know. At least, like, there aren't really a bunch of evil teams left. So I think there's still, like, some fun there.
There is.
There's one.
Mm-hmm.
One evil empire. Oh, man, I don't really like Gonzaga either, but I don't really consider them evil. But, you know, I think America is collectively all rooting for San Diego State tonight. We're all Aztecs tonight, baby. Huzzah.
Mm-hmm.
Rah, rah, rah. Go Aztecs. That's what they do. I just made that up. Last night, though, delivered some great games.
It did.
I thought, as unsurprising as it was that Rick Barnes got out coaching MSG last night, I was very surprised that Tom Izzo got out coached in MSG last night, and he did. Could not find an answer for MSG, or, I mean, for Markquis Nowell.
Mm-hmm.
Could not find an answer for him. Could not find an answer for just the off-ball movement of the Kansas State Wildcats. First of all, they just got beat by back cuts sometimes, just being lazy or just, you know, having a lack of focus. And I think they should have been, you know, more prepared for that. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I think his defense kind of lost their physicality. They had a hard time keeping guys in front of them. But with Nowell, too, everyone knows the game plan is to make him be the one to finish. It's not rocket science, guys. The 5'8 guy that is an elite passer, you probably don't want him passing. You know, you need to force him into trying to finish through the trees. And he's still a really talented player, so he's going to score doing that. But, you know, you allowed him to have 19 assists.
He put up, like, Rajon Rondo numbers.
Yeah. And a large part of it was because, much like Tennessee was doing, over-rotating, committing too hard to the help defense. And when you do that, he's such a good passer, he knows how to pass out of that. You know, you're not going to be able – you think you can because he's 5'8", so you keep trying and trying and trying when you bring that extra man or you slide over to bring that help. But he's such a good passer that it doesn't matter. You know, it's not going to phase him. He's going to be able to pass out of it. He's going to be able to find an open man, and more likely than not, it's going to lead to a basket. And Tom Izzo did not make that adjustment. Michigan State didn't make that adjustment. I think Tom Izzo got outcoached, and that's why they lost that game. Well, that, and again, you know, it's not just Tom Izzo getting outcoached. Jerome Tang outcoached him, so there's credit to that side too, obviously. Jerome Tang was fantastic. I mean,
they pulled the longest yard play in crunch time. If that doesn't, now, that doesn't show some confidence.
And now Lowdown is going on another round.
Mm-hmm.
People in Manhattan, Kansas. I think they're starting to rise, little baby now.
Yeah,
I think it is catching on. We had that conversation earlier. I think it is.
I want to go on to, like, I would love to get the analytics team from Spotify and just see how often searched Lowdown from Little Baby is, like, in the state of Kansas only right now.
I feel
now.
Like that's something that they can tell us. Like,
yeah, I think that's pretty. Everyone tweet out. Okay. At Spotify, tell me how many people from Manhattan, Kansas have played
Lowdown on the Lowdown.
Yeah. I kind of hate – I mean, I do enjoy UConn, but I kind of hate that you're not riding with Kansas State. They got a good story, man. Like, the best story.
I want to win money.
Yeah, I mean, I do too.
I like money.
Money is nice.
Over in Vegas, man, that was an interesting night. I think UConn – I think we asked two questions, right? We asked, is Arkansas actually a good team, or did they just pull off an upset with the athletes that they have? because they really didn't play very inspiring basketball down the stretch. And then we asked, are UConn's guards up to the challenge? Because it's going to be tougher for Sanogo and Hawkins and, you know, and company and Davis. Like, those guys have to step up.
I think they're good.
I think we got the answer to both of those teams. The UConn guards last night played a very good game. Very, very good game. They beat Arkansas 88-65. As Arkansas also answered the question of, are they actually a good team? The answer was no. You know, Must did a little bit of his March magic. They pulled off the upset over Kansas. It just felt like that athleticism was somehow going to beat Kansas. But, yeah, not a good team. And again, you know, if UConn's going to get guard play like that, if Jordan Hawkins is going to give you 24, you know, if you're going to have guys on your bench give you 10 and – 5, and if you're going to get still be able to get 18 against Sanogo, even against great interior paint, you know, defense,
we'll see in the final four.
Paint defense. I mean, I think that's a team that really is a threat to win a national championship this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the weirdest game of the night. I know you didn't stay up to watch.
I didn't watch this game.
I kind of did. I kind of tortured myself with it. I wasn't paying great attention. I just kind of bought MLB The Show and just started playing that instead.
There you go. Good game so far?
Yeah, I was having a hard time.
Yeah.
But this game was nutty. Gonzaga overcame a pretty big, you know, double-digit deficit to come back in this game.
UCLA sold. Based on what I have watched on some highlights, they sold this game.
Yeah.
What a choke.
They absolutely choked away this game. They just went on a pretty big scoreless drought.
Yeah. Who would have thought that the scoring run in the FAU Tennessee game wouldn't be as bad as, you know, what UCLA ends up doing in this game.
I mean, Gonzaga was down at half 46-33. They went down 17 at one point, I believe, was the largest deficit.
They didn't make a field goal for 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gonzaga stormed all the way back to then go up by 10 with 2.5 minutes to play. So they went from down 17 to up 10. But then, just as remarkably, in 41 seconds, UCLA went on a 10-1 run. I couldn't believe it. I was like playing video games, and I looked down. I was like, "Wait, what?
What just happened?"
I thought the game was over. I stopped kind of paying as close attention. Took the lead, only for Gonzaga to run the Jay Wright play. Villanova play.
Yeah, what a great ending there.
And it was what Julian Strother putting it through, winning it with the three. I love, too, after the game, Mark Few even called it just the Jay Wright play.
Yeah, no, there's no hiding it. There's no hiding it at all. It's exactly what that was.
Surprised that was the call. I really was. You know, I think when you had a guy like Drew Timmy and how well he was playing last night, I was surprised, you know, in a situation you didn't need a three, it wasn't a dump down to Timmy.
Right. I mean, he scored 36 of your 79.
Right. And, you know, Strother on the night before that was 2 of 7 from three. So, I mean, I guess, you know, that's Mark Few just knowing what to do, you know, pulling off some magic. But I can't believe the game was put in the hands of a guy that was 2 of 7 from three, taking a three from well beyond the arc. It worked.
Worked.
Props to Mark Few. You know, what do we know? He's in the Elite Eight. We're not. And neither's UCLA.
Yeah, what a game, man. What a game.
It feels like, and you know, the narrative now, it feels like people talking about it online too, on the TV shows, on the radio. Feels like a lot of people are pointing to the winner of UConn-Gonzaga being the one that wins it all. It means they're just definitely losing the next game in the final, their first game in the Final Four, now that everyone's saying that. So, yeah, that stinks for my UConn pick, but
we were
I do think the winner of Gonzaga, UConn, I'll say it too. I think they're in a good position. I think they would probably be seen as either them or Alabama as the favorite.
Mm-hmm. We were saying this yesterday. We've got back-to-back matchups with Gonzaga UCLA that just ended in like buzzer beater threes.
Wow! Yeah, we did.
We were like, what if it's just a rematch of exactly what happened? You know, they get a Gonzaga goes down and
so
hits a three to win this game.
Three times in NCAA tournament history, and one of them was Adam Morrison crying. One of them was Jalen Suggs buzzer beater. Now one of them is a Julian Strother buzzer beater that featured multiple double digit comebacks.
Yeah.
We need these teams to both be in the same region every year.
Yeah.
We should get this as like a non-conference rivalry, like a little Big Ten West Coast conference action.
I'm down. I'm kind of down for that.
I would be too.
I don't think that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Sweet 16 games tonight. Any of them catch your eye?
I mean, of course. I guess the one I'm really looking forward to, Miami-Houston, I would say. You know, this Houston team has been so steady all year long. Miami, once again, trying to make another big March run. I like the guards of Miami. I like the – stylistically in March, I think Miami plays a really interesting game. And, you know, Houston obviously has a great defense. So I think that's one that really jumps off the page for me. And then – Xavier in Texas, because I've got a lot of potential money wrapped up in Texas.
Yeah, first game of the night, San Diego State and Alabama. I am pretty interested to see that. You know, so far, San Diego State's taken two high-powered offenses, Charleston and Furman, and has held them to an average of 54.5 points on 32% shooting. I mean, they've completely just stymied those two offenses. Now, Alabama, that's a completely different story. You know, that's runner-up player of the year, Brandon Miller. That's one of the best players in college basketball. That's one of the best offenses in college basketball. But I think the question for Alabama, too, with, you know, Miller still being a little hobbled with all the distractions surrounding this team, you know, with the volatile play style of relying on such a heavy dose of three-pointers, can you keep that up for another weekend and get to the Final Four? You know, not a lot of teams that play that way have been overly successful in this tournament-type environment. You know, can San Diego State keep it up and make life difficult on Alabama? Because if they're not pouring in threes, San Diego State can win this game. I don't think enough people were talking about it.
Is this the Mountain West year?
Maybe it is.
Maybe the Mountain West has slayed those demons.
And then, you know, Miami-Houston, I'm also pretty I'm pretty pumped for that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Houston, they finally looked like themselves in the second half against Auburn, after not looking like themselves for a good month. But Miami, man, they look like they're ready to match the toughness of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
They just pounded Indiana, completely out-toughed Indiana. 29-11 advantage on second chance points, 48-31 on rebounds. They bullied that team.
That was the game I was most surprised from in the round of 32.
I was too, and that was kind of something we talked about before the tournament with Miami. We knew they have this explosive offense. You know, we knew they have this like these guys with this unique skill set and these, you know, high powered guards. But they didn't really play a lot of defense. But was it going to be one of those situations where like the NBA, you know, you get into the NCAA tournament? We've seen this with Jim Larrañaga teams, where they start, you know, that's when they tighten up the defense. That's when they put more of a, you know, an emphasis on the defense. And then, you know, they're set up to make some pretty good runs in the tournament. So I'm looking forward to that one, too. And then, obviously, yeah, Princeton and Creighton. Can Princeton keep it up? You know, what kind of game plan are they going to come up with Creighton? Can they try to exploit Creighton's lack of depth? Or will Creighton just kind of overwhelm them? Should be a good one. And then Xavier, Texas, you know, probably the most competitive game of the night.
Yeah.
Two really good offenses.
And we got to wait till 9:45
really
to watch
it. Really good players. Should be fun. We'll catch a break. Best bet to wrap up the show on the other side. All right, wrap it up the show. As we always do with a little best bet. Zakai Ziegler last night. Updated his status after he had his surgery last weekend. He said there's not an exact timeline Sorry. Said there's not an exact timeline, but he said he has his own personal timeline. He said he wants to push to be back on the floor and playing by August or September. Seems aggressive, but, I mean, is anyone going to doubt Zakai Ziegler? If there's anyone, if there's never a guy I was going to doubt, the guy I would never doubt is Zakai Ziegler. If he says he thinks he can be back by then, I think he'll be back by then.
Recovery from an ACL has gotten significantly quicker.
It has.
But that does seem a little aggressive. But I could see September.
It was a very successful surgery, very clean, an easier surgery. I mean, again, I will never ever doubt Zakai Ziegler, which, next week we'll spend some time looking at the roster, looking at the transfer portal. You know, Tennessee's already been connected with some guys. Damian Dunn from Temple could be a huge add. You know, we'll start to get the news of, Julian Phillips and all your super seniors, which ones might want to come back for that COVID year. You know, we'll get in all that roster conversation next week, but thought that was interesting that Zakai is shooting to be back for the start of the season. I didn't really think that was much of a possibility, quite honestly.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I have no idea. I do think, like, from what I've heard from people that have had that injury that I know, I think maybe depending on if it's a partial or complete tear, I think that timeline for recovery is a little different. So we'll see. Good for him, though, setting his goals high.
All right, best bet tonight?
Best bet, I just mentioned it, that Miami and Houston is the game I'm looking at. I want to get greedy, but I don't think I'm going to. I kind of like Miami to win this game tonight. I don't think I'm going to lay plus 280 money line, but I am 100% going to take plus 7.5. This line might be this big for a reason. You know, Vegas might know something that I don't, but I just like this Miami team in March, and I just think this Houston team plays some close games, so I don't see this being a huge blowout. I got the plus 7.5.
Yeah, I think this is a close game too, but I think it's also somewhat of a shootout. You know, I know.
Yeah,
it's
like the over.
I know it. That's what I'm getting to.
Let's go. Let's go.
I'm not much of a totals guy, but I'm looking at this total at 138.5.
Yeah.
And I know everyone thinks, oh, Houston nation's best defensive team, but they haven't defended athletes like the ones Miami's had. Has since they played Alabama. I mean, that was December.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
I think these guys.
Memphis is probably the best team that they've faced since then.
These guys are going to score. I think both of these teams are going to end up scoring. I think, instead of the defense taking over, I think it's going to be more of a case where it's, Isaiah Wong and it's Nigel Pack and it's Norshad Omir versus Juwan Roberts and, Jamal Shedd and Marcus Sasser, and the talent of those guys takes over and the points go up. So I'm taking the over in that one, over 138.5. You know what, I guess maybe a little epic March Madness night could be good for the soul. It'll be tough, to know that Tennessee's not in it, but maybe we can just get one of those classic nights where you can just rest, not really do that much, and just we can just get a legendary night of March.
Some good enough games to make you forget about the bad one.
That's all a man can ask for, Sam.
That's all a man can ask for.
Appreciate y'all tuning in, though. Maybe we'll all feel a little bit better on Monday. See you again on Monday. Y'all have a great weekend. For Sam Beard, I'm Charlie Collier. This has been The Blitz. No talk sports today, but Russell Smith, The Drive at 3 p.m. On my